He will say a few words about Maharaj. Go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories, all glories, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So today we have the pleasure of having His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj with us today. His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj is a disciple of ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and he is also an initiating spiritual master within the ISKCON movement. Maharaj was born in New Jersey in 1947. Maharaj came in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Denver, Colorado, at the age of 24. In 1973, he began practicing Krishna consciousness in New York City, and shortly thereafter began serving at the New Vrindavan Farm community in West Virginia. That same year, he received initiation from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In 1986, His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj accepted the sannyas order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In 1995, he began serving as a resident sannyasi in Chicago, where he was based until 2013, when he relocated to Karlova, Croatia. At present, Maharaj offers spiritual guidance around Europe, the U.S., and in India. Hare Krishna, and welcome to the call. So happy to see you, Maharaj.
Thank you so much. Whenever you're ready, Maharaj, you can take the call over. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, my obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Rishir Uvacha Dharmava Srotakamenaha Yuyamyam Pratyu Dharitaham Esavapriyam Atmanam Vajatam Santyajamyaham. The great sage Tadachi said, just to hear from you about religious principles, I refuse to offer my body at your request. Now, although my body is extremely dear to me, I must give it up for your better purposes, since I know that it will leave me today or tomorrow. Yodruvenatmanam nataha nandamanaya sapumam ihata bhutadayaya tasocha stavarayapi. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity and its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for a higher cause of religious principles, for eternal glory, is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. In this regard, very exalted examples set by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Concerning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.534, Vaksam Sadurjya Sustarekshira Jalakshmin Dharmisti Arya Vachitarya Radharanyam Mayam Rigam Datya Nipsitam Manavadam Vande Mahapurusha Te Saranarogindam. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord, unto whom one should always meditate. He left his householder life, leaving aside his eternal consort, whom even the demigods of heaven adore. He went to the forest to deliver the fallen souls who are put into illusion by material energy. To accept sannyas means to commit civil suicide. But sannyas is compulsory, at least for every brahmana, every first-class human being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very young and beautiful wife and a very affectionate mother. Indeed, the affectionate dealings of his family members were so pleasing that even the demigods could not expect such happiness at home. Nevertheless, the deliverance of all fallen souls of the world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, left home when he was only 24 years old. He lived a very strict life as a sannyasi, refusing all bodily comforts. Similarly, his disciples, the six Goswamis, were ministers who held exalted positions in society. They also left everything to join the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivas Acharya says, Taktvatunamashesha-mandalapati Srinim Sadatu Chiva Bhutva Dina Ganesha Ko Karunayam Kopina Kanta Svito. These Goswamis left their very comfortable lives as ministers, zamindars, and learned scholars and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement just to show mercy to the fallen souls of the world. Gina Ganesha Gina Dina Ganesha Ko Karunayam. Accepting very humble lives as mendicants wearing no more than loincloths and torn quilts. Gopina Kanta, they lived in Vrindavan and followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to excavate Vrindavan's Lord's glory. Similarly, everyone else with the material comfortable condition in this world should join the Hare Krishna movement to elevate the fallen souls. The word Buddha Dayaya Maya Mirga Dayit Yapsitam Yandina Ganesh Sako Varunaya all convey the same sense. These are very significant words for those interested in elevating human society to its proper understanding of life. One should join the Krishna conscious movement following the examples of such great personalities as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, and before them, the great sage, the Dakshi. Instead of wasting one's life for temporary bodily comforts, one should always be prepared to give up one's life for better causes. After all, the body will be destroyed. Therefore, one should sacrifice it for the glory of distributing religious principles throughout the world. Umagyan timiranda shyagana gana salakaya. Taksun militam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya manabhistam stapitam yena bhutale. Swayam rupa kadam mayam dadati swam padatikam. Panchakalpa tarubhishcha kripa sindhupa evacha patitanam padapavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namaho namaha. Maum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivrsesa Sunyavadi Pasyatya De Sitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaudamata Vindam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Powerful stage, the Dachi, has been requested by demigods to give up his body so they can make a weapon out of his bones, and that weapon will be able to destroy the demon, Vichasura. And so when the demigods approached the Supreme Lord with the difficulty of how to deal with this demon, The Lord gave him this advice. Go to Dadachi, he is very liberal, and ask him for his body. Dadachi, after hearing the requests of the demigods, didn't immediately give up his body. He wanted to hear from them a little bit about why, and also is explained for what purpose besides. And then Dadachi says that, you know, one's body is very dear to oneself. You're asking for something that a beggar will come to a rich man for begging, to a person for begging, but a beggar will not know the position of the person he is begging from. And the person who is giving will not know the position of the person who is asking. So let me hear some of the reasons why I should give you my body. So he puts the demigods into a situation where they have to explain, and they do. Finally, he agrees, and because he says ultimately, one's body will have to leave one either today or tomorrow, explained in this verse. So who owns the body? Do we own our body? Or is the body owned by the person who takes care of it, such as our boss who gives us so much money so we can have food and shelter and whatever we need? Is he the owner of our body? Or is it our parents who gave us our body? Or is it actually owned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead who formulates all bodies? Who actually owns the body? This question came up in other discussions. And it's ultimately understood the body is owned by the same one who owns everything, belongs to the Lord. We might say my body, but it becomes my body because I've been given this body. And me is the person who dwells within the body. Just like our home is dear to us, or our apartment, or whatever residence we may have, because it gives us shelter, it gives us protection. It satisfies all our needs and desires. So the house is very dear to us. But we are not the house. And sometimes we change houses. We also change bodies. The house sometimes is destroyed, like sometimes all of a sudden the body will, it can collapse and die or undergo some turmoil. So, yeah, the body is not us, the place of our residence. Therefore, as a house is dear, our body is also dear to us. So the demigods are asking for something that is very difficult to do. But the Dashi is in full knowledge. He's a sage. And he knows that if I can donate my body for a good cause that will help others, then this is the actual principle of human life. It says human life means paropaka. The Sanskrit word paropaka means to do good to others. The purpose of human life is to do good to others and not simply live for one's own personal desires and sense gratification. That is animal life. Human life means to reach out and find ways to do good to others. And of course, sometimes we do that with family members and friends. But then again, when we speak in a complete sense, then who is our family member and who is our friend? ultimately, we belong to the human race. So actually, all human beings are our family. Actually, we are spirit souls. So all spirit souls are included within our family. So one who has a broader sense of understanding, or you might say the complete understanding, sees all living entities as being a part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, they see all living entities as being one's brothers, sisters, and related on the spiritual platform, which is beyond the bodily platform. Bodily platform is temporary and relationships change. Therefore, values change, situations change. But on the spiritual platform, we are always related to each and every one of us, are related to each other in the sense that we all have ultimately the same interests as our best interests. And what is that? We come back to our father, the spiritual, the king of the spiritual principles, that is Krishna himself. He is the supreme king. He is the supreme father, the supreme commander, and we are all subject, his subjects, his sons and daughters, like that. So we related on the spiritual platform. But the Dadhi knows that. Therefore, if he can do good to other living entities, he thinks this is a great opportunity. And so he... And Prabhupada explains how one can sacrifice for the benefit of others. And sacrificing for the benefit of the others is what makes life valuable. Because otherwise it's not human life, it's simply animal life. And so Prabhupada talks about the importance of reaching out and how this Krishna consciousness movement is. Our movement, sometimes people would criticize, why don't you just stay in your temples and read your books and do your worship and go on with your daily affairs? Why are you always out into the streets? Why are you always distributing literature? Why are you going here and there trying to encourage others to become part of you? You know, why don't you just leave people alone? Well, it's like a person who sees another person and they're walking towards a precipice, a big hole. And so that person is not aware that they're going to fall into this ditch or maybe fall off the side of a mountain. So a person will say, oh, wait, stop. You're going to fall. Well, and he'll do something, or she'll do something to save that person from a calamity. Now that is human life, to always think how one can do good to others. And of course, there are different ways to do good to others. People who are a little elevated materially, they want to do good to others by opening schools, hospitals, food distribution centers, clothing distribution centers, and come up with many programs for welfare work for the general population. Many people live like that, and they find satisfaction in that because they want to help others. And when you help others, even if it's in a material way, there is a sense of satisfaction that comes with that. But a devotee understands people are not suffering because of lack of food, clothing, or medical care or education. They're suffering because of want of the real goal of life, which is prema pumartha mahan. That's why Bhagavatam says, tato brahma jigyasa. In the human form of life, one should inquire into the nature of the absolute truth. That is the beginning of real life in this world. To inquire, who am I? Why am I in this world? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to die? What is the purpose of life? And there's thousands, tens and thousands, maybe even more books written about what is the purpose of life. But God tells us the purpose of life, and that is, he says, come back to me in the spiritual world in devotion. So our ISKCON movement, our Krishna consciousness movement, is geared to educate people in the process of devotional service, where they can ultimately come to the platform of worshiping the Supreme Lord in loving devotion, become perfect in that activity, and eventually leave this world never to take birth again and go back home, back to Godhead. So in the Christian tradition, there is a statement that says, it's called the first commandment. One should love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And then it says, it goes on saying, one should love one's neighbor as oneself. So that's the first and most glorious commandment. So what does that mean, to love the neighbor as yourself? That means whatever is good for you, whatever you have found valuable in life, whatever you see that is helping you in your life to become happy, to become educated, to become free from various suffering, share it with others. Help others. So we understand that means to give Krishna consciousness to others. And as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would say, there's no shortage of anything in this world except one, and that is a lack of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. So therefore, one who has been blessed with this good fortune, someone else has become very compassionate, and because of that, I am now in devotional service. So my life has become successful. In due course of time, I will reach the supreme goal. So somebody has made some sacrifice to bring me to where I am. So how do I repay that? Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, one cannot repay the spiritual master for what the gift of Krishna consciousness. Anyone who tries to repay or thinks they can repay the spiritual master is compared to a joker who presents himself in the audience to make people laugh. In other words, it's not possible to repay the gift of eternal life with Krishna in the spiritual world. But one should try. That's the further understanding. And how can that try? By making others Krishna conscious. So by doing that, one becomes recognized by the Supreme Lord, and that will make that person who makes that sacrifice, that effort to reach others, they become very much favored by the Lord. And at the end of life, they will have an easy ticket back to the spiritual world. So because the Lord himself, in fact, in all his different incarnations, he comes. He comes, why? To uplift the conditioned souls. He doesn't have to do that, but he does it. And it is concern and love, because he knows when he comes, the maximum amount of benefit will happen. And so he personally comes. And you'll see, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. But what did he do? He says his wife was Vishnu Priya. She was like the goddess of fortune. His mother was Sachi Mata. So loving, so caring, so always thinking of how to make her son happy in so many ways. He was respectable within the society. He had prestige, he had honor. He was somewhat well-to-do economically. a nice, beautiful wife, loving mother, many, many associates. But he gave it all up. And it was explained in his purport just to show compassion to the fallen souls. And he took the principles of sannyas and he accepted that those principles in a very perfect way. He was, you know, when Jagannanda Pandit wanted to give him a nice bed, he sent it through Damodar Goswami, the Lord's personal secretary and assistant. When Sri Damodar presented the bed to Lord Chaitanya, he said, "This is a gift from Jagannanda Pandit." Lord Chaitanya became a little bit unhappy and he said, "Now he wants me to accept sense gratification." And so the Lord, in order to accept his offering, had the bed taken apart and left with only a little straw mat. And so he used that straw mat to lay down on. So the Lord accepted even hardships as the Supreme Lord in his role as a devotee of the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who followed the principles very strictly for austerity and for the restrictions that come by way of interaction with the opposite sex. He was very, very strict in that also. So here he is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, performing so many austerities. Why? So he could take the sannyas order and preach to the conditioned souls and give them a prime opportunity to come to Krishna consciousness. Every incarnation practically comes to uplift the conditioned souls. Ramchandra came, and he destroyed Ravana and his kingdom, reestablished the kingdom of Ayodhya, and made so many persons God conscious. It says in other discussions in this verse that's quoted here, in the very beginning of the purport, that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that it relates to Lord Chaitanya, but Srila Prabhupada also says this verse also applies to Lord Ramachandra, who left his wife in the palace, Taktva seduced Rajam, Sarep Siddha Raja Lakshman. That also applies to Lord Ramachandra, who actually did the same thing. He left his nice, comfortable palace and put on deer skin, went into the woods, and lived like a mendicant for 14 years, accepting austerity and giving up all of his royal connections and everything. Why? In order to fulfill the desire of his father and at the same time establish religious principles that a king or a saintly person should be very obedient, no matter who they are, to their superiors. And so, of course, he had many, many principles that he wanted to establish. So the Lord accepts these roles as a conditioned soul just for the sake of uplifting the conditioned souls. And he had to go through hardships, losing his wife, so many things. It wasn't easy. We say, well, he's the Supreme Lord, yes, but the understanding is there was no need for him to go through all of this, but he did it in order to, you know, uplift the conditioned souls, reestablish religious principles, remove irreligion from the world, and teach the highest principle of what it means to be a leader. They say that when you, Mahabharat teaches you how to live, Ramayana teaches you how to lead, And Srimad Bhagavatam teaches you how to love. Each of these scriptures do all three, but they each have a focus also. So in Ramchandra's pastimes, he's teaching what it means to be an ideal leader, which is very rare these days. In fact, really not rare, it's not even non-existent. That's why people would say sometimes we want Ram Raj. We want the kingdom of Ram, but then you have to become like Ram in order to do that. So here, back to the main point, which is the Dachi, he's seeing, yes, I have a body and it can be used for some religious principles to destroy demoniac influence in the world. I'm requesting by the Lord, by the demigods, to give it up. And so he does it. So advanced Prabhupada's message for us is that we don't have to do that, but we should sacrifice our time, energy, words, intelligence, abilities to preach and spread Krishna consciousness. That is not just for people who have brahmacharis or sannyasis, that is for everyone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Lord Nityananda to get married so he could reach to the grihastha communities. And he did. Lord Nityananda had no desire to get married, but on the request of Lord Chaitanya, in order to preach to the people in that ashram, he did it. So the Lord makes the sacrifices on behalf of the conditioned soul. So our movement is geared in that way. It's not an ordinary religious movement where we lip chapatis every day and we have our chapatis, rice, dals, sabji, and whatever else we eat every day. We chant a few rounds, read a few books, and feel good about ourselves, speak something nice to some of our friends, go to the temple once a week and give a donation. And then we think, oh, I'm Krishna conscious. You're not, really. The business of this movement is paropaka, as Prabhupada said. It is meant on vairagya vidya, knowledge and renunciation, renouncing material comforts for spiritual activities in order to spread the movement far and wide, which is the most important thing at the time, because as we see, the world is going to hell. But there are a very large class of people out there who are searching, who are looking, who are praying for something better in life. Therefore, we have to be ready to give them this message. And there are different ways you can do that. That's a whole other subject, how to reach out to others. There are different ways. But the principle is that everyone should be an instrument for the mercy of the Lord in the lives of others. And that is the business of human life. Those who live simply for their own personal interests actually do not live life. They actually will never feel fully satisfied or happy. And we can only do that because life is meant for service, service to God, service to the parts and the individual parts and parcels. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Many thanks, Maharaj, for such an inspirational class. Thank you so much for letting us know how we can be more self-aware and how we can be selfless, and how we can be more paropkari. Maharaj, one quick question that arises in my mind is that, so when we do selfless services for, say, non-devotees, I've been hearing lectures, they say that you have to be careful where you go and provide your support, be it monetary support, be it anything. Would you shed a few words on that? That is, it's like strictly all our seva, all our money should go only to devotees, or we can also do, we can extend our hand also to, let's say, 100% neophyte or eight, like that.
Talking about monetary contributions specifically?
Also, for example, yes, Maharaj.
Example or general or specific?
Mostly, let's say, monetary assistance.
You have some money and you want to give a donation, then that you have to investigate and see where you can, your money will have the best possible effect. So if you give for distributing books, or if you give for opening temples, if you give for supporting those who are surrendered in Krishna consciousness and can use that in order to preach Krishna consciousness. These are some of the things, but each person has to investigate where they want to give. Yeah, but you should give, because for a householder, to give in charity is one of the regulative principles. It's one of the main regulative principles. Prabhupada, I was just reading today, and I think it's, where was I reading? Yeah, it was in the Bhagavatam too, that 50% of one's income should be used for religious principles. 25% should be used for personal needs, and 25% should be used for savings. So that's the actual recommended division. But who's doing that? And Prabhupada writes that at least 15 times in different parts of the scriptures. It's in his books many times. We can find it in a lot of places. Well, that was based on Srila Rupa Goswami, who, when he retired from government service, he had two boatloads full of gold coins. And he gave half to spread Krishna consciousness. And he, as we mentioned, 25 and 25. And when Sanatana Goswami was in jail, and he didn't have any money to get out, he didn't need it, he contacted Rupa Goswami, and sent some money to help him get out of jail. So that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's the whole story. So, yeah. But how many of us are following, who are grihasthas, how many of us are actually following that standard? So it's not a forced thing, not like you know, if you don't do it, you're just a demon or something like that. What it means is that you should try according to your position in society, your economic status, should give regularly to religious principles. Because money is Lakshmi.
Yes.
And Lakshmi needs to be with Narayan. If you use Lakshmi in the service of Narayan, you'll always be happy. You'll always have enough for yourself. You'll never think, oh, I'm giving away, I have less. No. If you use your time in Krishna consciousness, Krishna gives you more. If you use your intelligence, he gives you more. If you use your finances, you get more. Krishna says, oh, this person knows how to use different things in my service, so let me give more of the same. And he does that. We should never think, oh, if I give, how will I live? No, don't worry. Krishna will take care of you. And most of us live beyond our standard needs anyway.
Very, very nicely mentioned, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just investigate where you think the money should go. If you can't think of any, then you can ask people where would you recommend I offer some donation.
The Maharaj temple it goes, but there are also certain organizations like Save the Children in very poverty-stricken places. So, they might not be Krishna conscious.
Many of the outside agencies are quite dubious. How much of the money actually goes to what they say they're collecting for? Most of them are all hired help, so they have a whole clientele of paid people. So a good part of the money that comes in goes to paying the people who are working. Sometimes there's also been stories based on investigations where none of the money went to the places that they mentioned. Sometimes a small portion goes, sometimes it's a little bit bigger. So, but welfare work in the material world, I mean, it's nice. But if you feed a person, then 4 or 5 hours later, they're hungry again. But if you give them Krishna consciousness, or you do something to help them become Krishna conscious, then they can solve their own problems. They have the equipment. So there's charity. It's mentioned in the 17th chapter, charity in the mode of goodness, charity of the mode of passion, charity of the mode of ignorance. So if someone is needy and they ask you for some donation, you can do that. Or sometimes, like when we drive along the streets, people come to the car windows in India, even in the West, asking for some donation. We give them some food if we have it. Sometimes we give them some coin, some donation or something. But if you refuse to give in charity, you become hard-hearted. And if you become hard-hearted, then you can't practice Krishna consciousness.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful answer. I saw Megha Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji and Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. All of our sister Prabhupada and Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Mataji, I did raise my hand, but I had to lower it because Maharaj already answered when he was speaking about what to do when you see these people in the streets asking for money or some kind of food or something. So, that's all. And I know, I guess the principle behind everything is, charity is if someone asks, you must give something. So, Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Carry prasadam with you, and then you're in a good position to offer something spiritual.
Yes. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
There you go.
There's a question in the chat. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam Maharaj. I got a question. Is it somebody is hearing and understanding about ISKCON disciple and Bhakti Shastri course from recorded online? Will that person be initiated? As that person cannot attend courses because that person does not possess money. Can that person be initiated? So I can be initiated, or can I say I'm wanting to get initiated? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah. These courses are given freely. Yeah, the Disciples course, which is a 2 or 3 day course, and the Bhakti Shastra course, which is required for second initiation, are given freely. You just have to find the different venues that are offering these persons. It's free. It's not a paid program.
Thank you, Maharaj. Devotees, don't hesitate to unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. All goes to you, Maharaj. Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Maharaj. I like the point when you said Lord Chaitanya has left all his comfortable life and took sannyas. Just the people in the world should get benefit. Same with Lord Ramchandra left home and went to exile for 14 years to get benefit for to kill the all Rakshasas and all the Rishis. They will, you know, be protected from all the demons, and also the Devata should get protected.
Yeah, the Lord is the supreme principle of compassion. He's always distributing mercy, either directly when he comes or indirectly through his different devotees. And then we can take example from that and just say, well, if the Lord doesn't have to do it, but he's doing it anyway, he's showing us that this is what he wants from us. He's also teaching that principle.
So Maharaj, this the Dishi Muni, is he like the incarnation or something like, or he just a devotee?
He's a sage, the Dachi. Yeah, he's a sage. You don't hear much about him in other places in the Bhagavatam, except for this particular section.
Yeah, but this is so big, you know. It's like, you know, somebody's asking your body, give me your body for the benefit of others.
Yeah, yeah. He has performed austerities. He's noted for his austerities, and because of his austerity, he became very physically strong, very powerful physically. And so, because he was, Lord Vishnu told the demigods, if you want a weapon to kill, you're going to have to go ask the Dachi for his body. And from his bones, you can make the thunderbolt weapon. And that was that is Indra's weapon. That's what it is. It's that powerful thunderbolt weapon that Indra carries that was made from the Dachi.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much for your wonderful association.
Thank you for having these programs on for the last 10 years. More than 10 years, maybe, I think. 14 years.
I don't know. It's been a long time, so. It's all devotees' mercy. They all join every day. So that's why this program is going. And your wonderful service, Maharaj.
Yeah.
For coming and giving your association.
We have one quick question from Raj Prabhu. Riya Mataji says, Hare Krishna Maharaj, how to realize the importance of bhakti and become sincere in Krishna's service?
Easy, just associate with devotees. Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees will bring that understanding to the forefront.
Thank Thank you, Maharaj. Devotees, feel free to unmute your cameras and get all the blessings from His Holiness and ask all the questions.
We have one from Bali.
Vali Mataji.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dhanvat Pranam. Very wonderful class, and I like the point you said where we are also learning the story of the Diji, and what we can do is which we no need to do that much of sacrifice, but we can just give our time. We are learning how to sacrifice the body here, but our part is only to give our time and service to the Lord. That is very wonderful for today, what we can take from this lesson. And Maharaj, I also have some story heard before that we learn about Karna, right? When the Karna was moved to a different place, Radha Devi was his mother. His mother's name was also Radha Devi. And she raised Karna in such a way that he will become so, he is also starting dana, like a donation for everyone in his very childhood. And she started teaching some stories, and one of the stories is this Dadichi, sage Dadichi's story. So that inspired Karna also to give away everything, whatever someone asks. So is that in the real story, Prabhuji, Maharaj, or it is only?
Where did you read that?
Oh, okay. In my childhood, when I'm listening to the stories and songs mainly, in the song it will, like Taladannu Mahadatavai means you have to overcome those donations also, all the people who did the sacrifices and who offered, like Bali Chakravarti is also there, right, who donates everything. So she tells the stories of this Bali and Sibi, who gives his own like muscle or his part of the body. Bali Sibi Dadichi. More than that, datas, you have to overcome their donations. That's what she teaches when he was in his childhood days, like raising him.
Yes, yeah, Sibi, Dadachi, and there's another one, what's his name, that gave everything away. He was a king, he was fasting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of the king.
Was it Rant?
Ranti Deva. So I heard that Karna was grown up listening to all these stories, so he became that kind of data when he was giving his Kavacha Kundalam away when Indra comes in a disguise form also to protect his own son Arjuna.
Yeah, these stories you're hearing are coming from the local village stories, which are, we don't have that information in the scriptures that are available for us, but they're bad stories. We call it Stala Purana. Stala Purana means village Purana.
Yeah.
That people grow up in the village with.
Village, and also many songs were sung in the bhakti, the devotee songs, whereby you sing in music lessons also. It comes how Karna was raised in his childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives inspiration for everyone listening to these stories, mainly for the kids if they learn in an early age.
Yeah.
It helps a lot.
You don't teach values, then people
values
grow up properly.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna Maharaj, just I wanted to share what I listened in my childhood.
That's nice, thank you.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
I'll remember that.
Dukkha Bhava Mataji, if you would like to go ahead with your questions, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj, I've got one question regarding this donation. So what are you advice for body donation after, like, you know, it's going on organ donation thing and stuff like that? Can we do that or we shouldn't be doing that?
I didn't hear the question clearly.
So, you know, the organ donation, medical field, they asked for now, everybody has been requested that after you die, why don't you donate your organs? and if put your name on the organ donor list, is it worth doing that or not?
No. They just take it and they sell it and get money for it. That's what they do. There's a big racket, big criminal racket of getting organs and reselling them for big prices. It's done by criminals.
Mara, just to piggyback on Mataji's question, so when we go for, like, say, driver's license, right, they will ask, do you want to donate your heart, your eyes?
Yeah.
Here in the U.S., some...
Tell them you want to donate your intelligence.
Good
answer.
Tell them, they say, well, what does that mean? Well, here, it's right here. It's in the, I got the, my intelligence from this book. It's called Bhagavad Gita. So you can get my intelligence in the same way. We discussed this many times, and it doesn't seem to be something that devotees get involved with. We want to help people by giving them knowledge, by giving them a direction in life where they can take charge of their own life. And that's Krishna consciousness. So our charity is knowledge.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
We can also give food. We do that too. We also have programs for distributing food to people who are in need. We have Food for Life programs. During the recent earthquake in Turkey, two countries, I think it was Czechoslovakia and Hungary, sent a whole bunch of devotees to that area with large amounts of food supplies. They're still there now, even today. So we do that. We do food distribution. And we also give Krishna consciousness through our books and through our words. We did the same thing in Ukraine when we had devotees from London went to Ukraine. So that kind of charitable work fits in with the people are not only getting food, but they're getting prasadam.
Thank you, Maharaj. Any last-minute questions, devotees?
Is there anything else in the chat there? No?
No. No. Let me just check.
Okay.
Thank you. Indulekha Mataji saying, thank you so much, Maharaj, for such a nectarian class. Please accept my most respectful obeisances. I really loved how you stressed that the whole purpose of being in Krishna conscious is not just to chant some rounds or go to temple, read Srila Prabhupada's book, etc. But the real purpose is Parupkar. Such an important message. So she thanks you. And also Sujata Mataji saying, Bhakti, Vrinda, Padashre Mata, hope you were able to get in touch with Adi Gadadhar Prabhu. He shared contact earlier. Please let us know how we can help. Hare Krishna. Vrinda Gopika Mataji is writing, Hare Krishna Ananta Koti Dandavat Pranam, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. On behalf of all the Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Sri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai. Thank you, Maharaj. So those were the few little comments. And thank you, devotees. Thank you, thank you, thank you for always sharing and thanking. And thank you for expressing your gratitude. We have Lalitangi Mataji, if you would like to pose your question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. And also you said about how devotee is meant for paropakar, sharing. I have the question about humility and tolerance. What is the connection between that and which leads to what? Like, we are reading so much about them, and we know how important it is. But when I see myself, how much I'm practicing that, it's very disappointing. So I want to make progress in that, to please. So
Bhakti Siddhanta, when Bhakti Siddhanta was about to send his preachers to different countries throughout Europe, London and Germany, and at that time Burma, which is now Myanmar, and other countries, France, they also. He told them, you will not be effective to reach these Westerners unless you practice Trinadapi Samichena, Ayurivasa Hishna. That you have to wear that verse on your neck as your ornament. Otherwise, you will never be able to be any, you will not be successful in preaching Krishna consciousness in the West. Yeah, but very much connected with preaching.
Thank so you.
You're asking its relationship with preaching, or you're asking how to develop these qualities more and more?
Yes, Maharaj, that was also my question.
Yeah. Well, your husband is very humble.
You are like taking honey everywhere, like how only looking for the good things, even if there is a mounts of faults.
He's great. He's very humble. I was amazed how humble he was. Such a very prestigious person, but he carries himself very humbly. And he is humble. He spent time with me, just being with me, just to assist me, even though I didn't even ask it. I needed it, but yeah, I didn't ask it.
So pure humility that you are accepting whatever we are doing for our own benefit, Maharaj.
But if you want to accelerate your humility, you practice that quality, and part of that practice means to associate with people who have that quality, who are like that, and help become like that. And that's probably the easiest and most quickest way to develop these qualities, associate with people who have the quality. But then if you're trying to develop something, you have to be consciously aware of the need to use it, to apply it in your life, and not just go on in a mindless way and just going on what you do with your everything. You should practice that. Practice humility. Practice tolerance. Practice developing the quality of our chanting. All of that. Practice.
Thank you, Maharaj. I mean, your association is such a, don't have words, just causeless blessing from you and from the Lord for us.
We hope to visit you this year sometime. We're not sure when, but.
Yes, Maharaj. When are you coming to Charlotte?
The word when cannot be answered now, but the word coming is. Yeah, we're coming. We don't know when.
Maharaj, see you on the 22nd at Naperville. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
We'll be here for the weekend, 21st and 22nd.
Thank you, Maharaj. See you then. Hare Krishna.
That's only a month away.
Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Maharaj. See you soon.
I pray that I can get there. Nowadays, travel is not so easy.
When we speak to you, Maharaj, we feel we are talking with Srila Prabhupada. When we speak to you, we get the feeling we are speaking to Srila Prabhupada. You are representing Srila Prabhupada.
When I hear you speaking, I hear Prabhupada speaking.
No. I'm a servant, I'm a dog.
Well, you know, it says you should become a dog of your spiritual master, and then you are in the best position.
Thank you, Maharaj.
And what is
your
that?
Blessing.
Tumar Kukura. What is that song?
Tumito Thakur, Tumar Kukur, Sarbosho Tumar, Charone Shopiya, Korechi Tumaro Ghare, Tumito Thakur, Tumar Kukur, Janiya Bolo Mori. Bhaktivinoda Thakur song, Maharaj.
Yeah, let me become your dog. And that way I have a good master. If I'm a street, I'm lost. Yeah, we pray like that. Nice, thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Seek your blessings on your lotus feet.
Hare Krishna. Both parts.
Please pay your obeisances to Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.